How can you overcome by faith? That's what we're going to explore in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen, and I'm really excited that you've decided to join us today. We are coming toward the close of a really great series called Hebrews Partners with Christ. I'm so glad to have gone through this. We have in the studio with us for this series Dr. Kenneth Yates, who wrote a book by the same title. Let's go right to the Grace in Focus studios and listen in on today's discussion.
Welcome to the show. I'm so glad you're listening in to this conversation, this ongoing conversation we've had about the book of Hebrews. We're in chapter 11. I can almost see the end, guys. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Right? I can almost see the end of this study, which has been extremely enriching for me. So thank you very much, Dr. Yates, Ken, for that.
Well, it's great being here with you all.
You are not at all, we thought we didn't know what you were going to be like when we came into the studio.
No, I know. We weren't sure how it was going to go. We were hoping that it was going to go extremely well. But the truth, because Ken kept saying, oh, you guys are pros, but I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm going to be terrible.
This is horrible.
Just going to be the worst. Why are you even having me on?
And then he gets on here and he's like the star. he wants his own show now. He wants his own network.
Flattery will get you everywhere.
Well, we're in verse 31 of chapter 11. And basically what's happening here, the author of Hebrews is giving Old Testament examples of people who endured through persecution because they believed something was coming that they did not actually see, but they believed it and they lived in light of it.
Yes, as we mentioned, and now starting in verse 31, he's going to continue his discussion of these Old Testament men and women of faith. And his point is that anyone who is a child of God can live this kind of life, can live a life of faith. And he takes us all the way through the rest of the Old Testament in these verses.
Now, he's used a bunch of examples of very famous Bible characters that no one would be surprised at citing as examples of faith. Abel and Abraham and Moses. But now look at verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. So how can a prostitute be a hero of the faith?
Not only a prostitute, but also a Gentile. And so we see someone who, I think a lot of people when they come to faith think, well, God can't use me or I can't be a hero of the faith. I think here's an example of someone that no one ever would have picked. But yes, any believer can be a hero of the faith and gain God's approval in the way they live and reign with Christ.
And by the way, her not perishing, that's not going to hell.
No, she
literally didn't die when Jericho was taken over.
Yes, her actions that the author of Hebrews describes are actions that she did after she had believed. She received spies and she sent them out another way. So these are actions that she did because she believed in God and the things that God had said. Right.
Well, now the author seems to say there's just so many examples he can think of. He can't just name them all. And so now he just kind of, he hints at different episodes. And if you're biblically literate, you can probably guess at who he's thinking about here.
Right.
For example, he says, what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and also of David and Samuel and the prophets. I mean, all of those guys were filled with examples of faith in action. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Oh, who's that?
That seems to be Daniel in the lion's den.
Yes, right. I think so.
Quenched the violence of fire.
Daniel's friends.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Escaped the edge of the sword. Well, that could be lots of people. Out of weakness were made strong. Became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. This is an Area 51, though. We're not talking about...
We're all going to storm Area 51.
Women received their dead raised to life again. Who's that?
Well, you got the widow in 1 Kings 17. You also got the widow of Nain, for example, if we're going to take it into the New Testament.
Right. Mm-hmm. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Ken, you were saying that this might refer to events in the intertestamental period. This is after Malachi, but before the New Testament.
Yeah, so a lot of people think the way he's describing these things happened, for example, during the period of the Maccabees. Of course, that's not saying that 1st and 2nd Maccabees is inspired, but he's just simply using illustrations of people of faith in whatever age they lived.
And I think we need to talk a bit more about the better resurrection of verse 35. Some didn't accept deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. I assume that means they weren't willing to renounce their faith.
Right.
That's how they would have accepted deliverance.
Right.
And they did that so they could have a better resurrection. But that sounds like you're working your way to heaven.
And isn't it interesting that the original readers were being persecuted, and they may be faced with this in the future? Do you renounce your faith and get deliverance from whatever torturing or whatever difficulties you're going through? Or do you take God at his word that you will have a better resurrection? Now, all believers will be resurrected and will be in the kingdom of God with glorified bodies, but some will have a better resurrection. They will have greater rewards. Some will reign with Christ. Some will not reign with Christ.
So is this kind of like flying first class as opposed to economy? You can either resurrect in economy or you can resurrect in first class. Is it something like that?
Well, as I said in a previous episode, I just came back from Zambia where I spent 20 hours in the air, and I would have given anything to be in first class.
So that's something that we should look for. We should want.
So I can relate to that illustration, Sean.
So what you're saying is that you can be resurrected and have what? You're resurrected to riches, to rewards? That's what makes it better?
Yes, I think certainly those who reign with Christ will have an intimacy and a closeness with him and authority with him that those who do not reign with Christ will not. That is a better resurrection. All these rewards that the author of Hebrews is talking about is pointing towards that. And I think in the New Testament, we don't have, I mean, it talks about it a great deal, but the details of these rewards are often not given, but we just simply know these rewards are going to be there.
A lot of people today, a lot of theologians, a lot of pastors say Old Testament people had no concept of bodily resurrection. Well, that's not true. Hebrews 11:35 says not only did they have a concept of bodily resurrection, but different kinds of bodily resurrection.
Sure. Absolutely. And the other thing that we see in this chapter is that the illustrations that the author uses has particular relevance to the readers, you know, the persecution that they're going through and things like that. And so these are not just haphazard illustrations.
And that's getting more and more relevant to us today, too.
Yes, and I would also point out that not only was Rahab someone you would not expect, but notice Samson.
Yes.
Samson, he uses Samson. Now, most of us would look at Samson and say, I'm going to use a military term, what a dirtbag.
Yeah,
that guy, you know, but
aside from being extremely strong, which, you know, we kind of people admire. We admire strength. You know, he's kind of like an ancient superhero. But aside, he had no virtues. Besides that, there was just nothing good about him. That he slept around, he got drunk, broke all his vows. You know, he's not a great guy.
But he finishes well.
Yes.
You know, he finishes faith in the Lord, and that's encouraging. And again, as I look at the application of these original readers, perhaps there were those who felt that they had, you know, dishonored the Lord in some way, and they thought, well, you know, the Lord can't use me. But the Lord can use all of us.
How about this comment you mentioned about one of your seminary professors commenting on the expression in verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy?
Yes, I love one of my seminary professors made the statement that these men and women of faith, the world persecuted them. They made them live in holes in the ground, in caves, and they had to go around in sheepskin, as the author of Hebrews says. And my professor said that they had to live on the outskirts of society. They had to flee. The world did not count them worthy to have them in their midst, but the world to come will be worthy of them.
Wow.
Is the way he worded it. And that's, they were not worthy of this world, but they will be worthy of the world to come. And I'm sure the author of Hebrews would say amen to that.
You know, I'm reading this list, and I got to admit, guys, I kind of feel like, I don't know, I've never suffered the way, I've never had to live in a cave. I've never had to, like, wander around in goat skin. You know, I've never had to quench fire or stop a lion's mouth. So what hope is there for, you know, typical middle-class Americans? Are we going to get, are we all going to lose out on this better resurrection because we haven't suffered like this?
Well, you know, it seems to me in many ways our situation is even harder because of all of the allure of money, of riches, of power, of fame, all of the distractions of our cell phones and our laptops and our televisions and all the things we have. There's so much that can lead us to lives that are ineffective that it's every bit as relevant to us today.
I remember when I was in basic, I went to a military academy, and I remember there was a quote by JFK, and I don't remember exactly how it went, but it was like this, what you're talking about, Bob. He says, when there is an enemy right in front of you and you're faced with war, whatever, he was talking to a military audience, he goes, the choices are easy. But when you have a life of ease and the enemy, you don't really see him as clear, and the choices are not as black and white. Sometimes it's much more difficult. So I think it is true. Believers of any generation need to be diligent because we can love the world and be swept away by the desires of the world.
Last couple of verses. In all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. So they got a good testimony, but they didn't get the thing that was promised. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So here's that. Getting a good testimony from God again. God not being ashamed of us, but proud of us.
Yes, the chapter started in verse 2 with this, and now it ends. And that's the goal. The goal of every believer's life should be, I want the Lord to be approved of the life that I live, that from Him I would receive a good testimony.
Amen.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion on how we can overcome by faith. Would you like to learn more from Dr. Bob and Sean and the other guests that we have on this show? If so, you can do exactly that by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. It's packed with all kinds of materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. A great example is our daily blog posts. You can get signed up for free, and every day a new post will show up in your inbox. Go to faithalone.org. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to look at what it means to endure and what Hebrews has to say about that. So tune in next time on Grace and Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until then, let's keep Grace in focus.